Blog Talk Radio.
Say that again, Obadiah. Yeah, fruitful, plentiful land. So even though you got these beautiful fruitful trees and grass and all that by the land, hey, because look, if you got water, you're going to have vegetation. You're going to have greenery. And so that's good. But just as you have that, so will you have Yah. No matter what people say, Yahweh is coming. All right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of things you're going to learn and see for the first time. Yahweh said he's going to bring you by a way that you knew not. And there's a lot of things we're just learning. Any other questions? Yes, Obadiah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Giving all praises to the Most High by saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You have a question online. The sister asks, says, Shabbat Shalom, Oray. I'm a lesson concerning Elijah's coming. But does it mean David is coming with Elijah's spirit upon him?
Does it mean that Elijah is coming with the spirit of David on him? David is coming with the spirit of Elijah on him. David will be David, and Elijah will be Elijah. So, and just to show you that in the book of Malachi, if you turn there, Malachi the third chapter. Every time, yeah, you're gonna read and you're gonna learn something new, find something new, but it really ain't new, but it is new. Here it is, the scripture says there's nothing new under the sun, right? But after Yahweh, and see, that's why the scripture says wisdom is the principal thing. But with all that getting, get understanding. So somebody will see, well, there's nothing new under the sun. They say, well, there's no new knowledge. There's no new this. There's no new that. But in truth, Yahweh said he will make a new covenant with the what? The house of Israel and what? And the house of Yehudah. So that ain't new. Yeah. Yahweh said he's going to make a new heaven and a new what? This is, oh, that ain't new. Yahweh said when a man build a new house, he's supposed to what? He's supposed to dedicate it. So that ain't new. The Almighty said when a man take a new wife, so that ain't new. So when we see things, the scriptures, you got to have understanding. You just can't pick this book up and think you can read it and then start talking. No, you got to have understanding. And watch what it says in the book of Malachi, the third chapter. Starting at the very first verse.
It reads, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me.
And I can understand why people say this messenger he's going to send is Elijah, because it does say his actual name in the fourth chapter. He will send Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of Yah. So I can understand when it just says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. So we can say, okay, by deductive reasoning, that's Elijah. But continue reading.
And the king whom ye seek.
But the king or the master or the says the word Lord, it comes from the Hebrew word Adon, which means master or ruler or leader,
shall suddenly come to his temple.
Yeah, wait, hold up. It says, and the Adon, the ruler or the leader whom you what?
seek.
Whom you seek. There's only one leader Yahweh told you to seek. He never told us to seek Elijah. He never told us to seek Isaiah. He never even told us to seek Moses. And he wrote the law. It's called the Book of the Law of Moses. He told us to remember it, but he never told us to seek. The word seek means to what? Look for. Search out. Find. And the only ruler and leader Yahweh told us to seek is who? David, our king. So it's understandable why people would look, search for him. Continue reading.
And the king and the dawn whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple.
And he's going to come to his temple. What temple? He talking about the temple of Yahweh? Is that where he's going to come? It would have never said his temple. Because Yahweh don't call his temple somebody else's temple. No, this is just some meeting place. Sanctuary, as the brothers were teaching. And the brothers and the Morays, they were teaching how important a sanctuary is. A what? That's probably another word for meeting place. And but the sanctuary is very important because the scripture teach us. You know, when Abraham went into Egypt, the very first thing he went in Egypt and said, y'all know what he said? He said, I don't know if the fear of Yah is in this place. And this is what you want to do when you go any and everywhere. You want to look for the fear of Yah. Because if you're not in a place that it don't exalt and reverence Yahweh's fear, then you're in trouble because anything goes. Somebody can just break out and cuss you out. Somebody can just break out and smack you and hit you. Anything goes. Anything can happen. You're not protected when you're not in that type of place. And it was understandable why Abraham feared to go in Egypt because he looking for the fear of Yah. Do these people have morals? Do they have good sense? Or is there any righteousness here? This is what he's looking for, and this is what you should look for. And then it says, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, and you should know who that is. Again, that's David. Behold, he shall come, says Yah of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? In other words, who's gonna consider? Who's gonna recognize? Who's gonna acknowledge the day of his coming? A lot of people won't recognize it. They won't think about it. They won't consider it because they wasn't even looking. So how are you going to consider, if I can get the mic, Lemuel, up front? If you're not considering, then you sure not looking. And if you're not considering, you're not looking. So you definitely ain't going to be one that's going to be one that will abide his coming. Yes, ma'am, Sister Kadasha.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Question. It's been, as we were discussing, that, you know, we have Israelites that don't believe that it's just Yah, as the scriptures teach us in,
yes,
throughout all scriptures, that Yah stands alone. So when we look in the scriptures of Psalms 110,
yes,
when in that scripture it talks about David being after the order of Melchizedek, can you explain why that scripture is I guess, why he's considered to be after the order of Melchizedek, for one. And secondly, where did the Almighty tell us to follow, I guess, a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek?
All right, that's very good. That's very good. And of course, just to finish this second verse out, and who shall stand when he appear? For he's like a refiner's fire and like full of soul. So whoever this is, he's coming back. He's coming back to command. He's coming back to lead. He's coming back to bring about the very things that Yahweh said will come. And that's righteousness and justice and truth. And see, a righteous government cannot rise unless a wicked government falls down. They can't occupy the same space at the same time. So one has to fall for the other one to rise. And this is what's going to take place. That's why you're going to have all this friction, because one got to fall. And going to Psalms 110, and that's a very good question of who said we need to follow at the order of Melchizedek anyway? That's number one. And then number two, what do that mean? Well, what in the heck does it mean? Because some of our brothers seem to think David was talking about Christ in this song. First of all, who said David wrote this song? That's number one. And they're going to just make this a song of David. But I understand, because that's what the enemies do. They put, you know, little things certain places. But let's read it and let's make total sense of this thing.
Psalms 110, verse 1 reads, Yah said unto my master.
Yeah, it didn't say Yahweh said unto Yahweh. It's Yahweh said unto my Adon, my master. And this is somebody who was subservient to another king or another person or another one, a mighty one. And he's telling the story about what Yahweh said concerning his Adon, his master, his ruler, his leader. Yahweh said unto my master,
sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool.
Yeah, I'm about, and because this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make your enemies my footstool. Because why? Because as I said, a righteous government cannot rise unless you put down the wicked governments. And we already know that Yahweh said there's only going to be one government upon the earth that's going to be over all governments. And you'll read about this in the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 6th verse. But continue reading.
Yahweh shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies.
In other words, that's where your strength is going to come from. The rod of thy strength is going to, it don't mean Yahweh shall send me from Zion or out of, no. The rod of your strength is going to come from there. Why? Because that's where Yahweh said his habitation is for how long? Forever. So that's where the strength is going to come from. That's where the law is going to come from. That's why everything from Yahweh is coming from there. And then it says, rule thou in the midst of thy people. No, it said, rule thou in the midst of thy what? In the midst of your enemies. And watch what it says, the third verse.
Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power.
Yeah, because they're going to be willing, because they're going to see your power being executed even in the midst of your what? Your enemies. And so they're going to be willing.
In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth.
In other words, this can be interpreted two ways. And I lean towards one over the other, but I'll just give you the two ways. The one way is this is a grown man who has youthful strength. Someone that is, they older, but they just, you would think they were young, but they older. Or this could just be the youth. Some people believe that when David returned, it'll be a young man. It'll be a young guy, a young boy. Be a young boy. Could be one of the little boys in here. Because the scriptures say a child shall be what? Born. A son shall be given. So you don't know what type of, we had babies ruling at the age of 7 and 8 years old as kings. That's nothing for Yahweh to do. Nothing. And so that can happen. But nevertheless, it says in the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. In other words, you got your youth as if you just was born. The womb of the morning is when it what? Yeah, when it first show itself, when it first start coming out, when it first start breaking forth. And when it break forth, it's breaking forth real what? Real strong, real fast, real dominant. Go ahead.
Y'all have sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
And yeah, this is not hard to understand that being a priest after the order of Melchizedek. In other words, what this is saying is this. He's not a priest after the order of Aaron, because the only priests that can be after the order of Aaron are priests that come from his seed. They all have to be from his seed. Well, whomever this is, and this is David, is not of the seed of Aaron. Therefore, he's going to have to be a priest another kind of way. And how is that? Well, he only can be a priest another kind of way. There's only one other way to be a priest, and that is Yahweh making you a priest. Who do you think made Melchizedek a priest? Yahweh. Who do you think was in Salem or Jerusalem, as we know today, at that time it was the Canaanites? And who do you think Yahweh made the priest? Melchizedek. It wasn't because he was of a certain seed. It wasn't because he was born in a certain type of family. Yahweh made him priest. And just like Yahweh will make David priest. And that's what it means after the order of Melchizedek. He didn't come from Melchizedek. He wasn't born from the seed of Melchizedek. He was just made in the same way after the same order. And how was that? Yahweh going to do it. Now you're my priest. Just like Yahweh told Moses, I'll make a nation out of you. Yahweh do what he want to do. And this is what he's going to do, even though we still going to have priests after the order of who? Aaron. But they're going to recognize the king as a what? As a priest. So before, where a king tried to make a sacrifice, man, the Levites would cut his head off, and he was the king. But not in the future, because they're going to know Yahweh made him a what? So if he want to do sacrifice, he's going to do sacrifice. And Yahweh already warned him to do sacrifice. Why you think he made him a priest? So he can do sacrifice. And you'll read this in the book of Ezekiel, the 46th chapter, about the king making sacrifice. In the book of Ezekiel 46, and I want you to read, this is for not the start at the fourth verse, 46 and 4.
It reads, "And the burnt offering that the prince shall offer unto Yah in the Sabbath, in the Shabbat day, shall be 6 lambs without blemish, and a ram without blemish. And the meat offering shall be an ephah for a ram, and the meat offering for the lambs, as he shall be able to give, and a hin of oil to an ephah. And in the day that the new month, it shall be as young bullock without blemish, and 6 lambs and a ram, they shall be without blemish. And he shall prepare a meat offering, an ephah for a bullock, and an ephah for a ram, and for the lambs according to his hand shall attain unto, and a hand of oil to an ephah."
You notice it said, "and the lambs according to as his what? His hand shall attain unto." Because this going to come from the priest's hand. And in the past, that was, you couldn't, the priest couldn't take, touch no offering and offer no lamb. But watch this in that same chapter in the 12th verse.
"Now when the prince shall prepare a voluntary burnt offering or peace offering voluntarily unto Yah, one shall then open him the gate that looketh towards the east, and he shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offerings, as he did on the Shabbat day."
As he did on the Sabbath day, because on the Sabbath day he's going to prepare an offering. But if he want to do a peace offering and another type of offering, he do it just like he did on the Sabbath day. And go ahead.
"Then he shall go forth, and after his going forth, one shall shut the gate."
And one shall shut the gate, because nobody can be in there with the prince but the prince by himself, because Yahweh is coming in there with him. And Yahweh don't want to deal with nobody else and eat with nobody else but the prince. And y'all already know who the prince is, right? And that's David, not Christ. David. Yahweh ain't never talked about eating from Christ, taking a sacrifice from Christ, an offering from Christ, or nothing from Christ. There's never been one conversation between Christ and the Most High. It's been a conversation, and it's always one way. "Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" with no answer. Not one conversation. And everything about Yahweh, and I mean everything about Yahweh, if you want to know Yahweh, there's only one way to know him. And that's by his word. That's how we know if Yahweh didn't say it, it wasn't meant to be said. And when you can tell a man or tell somebody by their word, so in other words, if the New Testament is void of "thus said Yahweh," it is void of his what? His word. And that's how we know Yahweh, by his word and by his voice. Because Yahweh said he spoke to us out of heaven, which is very important. But then he said, which also destroys the New Testament, he said, "We see no manner of what? Similitude. We only and exclusively heard a voice. So they can't come talking about Christ is the image of the spirit or the living Elohim. No. Unless they willing to acknowledge all of us are the image of the Most High. Because that's what Yahweh said. So no, Psalms 110, all this letting us know, just like he made Melchizedek a priest, that's how he will make his king in the future. And Melchizedek was not just a priest, he was a king. And so will David. But it's not because they were born in a certain house, through a certain seed, in a certain family, as Yahweh would do with the sons, totally different. And the sons of Aaron and David is not preparing his offerings for everybody. That's the priest's job. And nobody is taking David offerings like, look here, let me bring you my sin offering, my peace offering, my this offering. No, you don't take that to David. You don't take that to the king. You take that to the priest, even though he is a priest. And why would Yahweh do such a thing? Because even Yahweh want the priest to understand, look, I work and you got to work. I serve and you got to serve. And I done humble myself to you. Now you got to humble yourself to me. And a righteous king would do so. That's what is going to be done. Hallelujah. Did I answer that question? All right, very good. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The question is, when the book of Malachi says Elijah will turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the children's back to their fathers, is that referring to all the families in Israel, or is that specifically referring to Yah's remnant?
Well, it's specifically referring to his remnant because the Almighty, because if the remnant hearts don't turn back in that manner, then what good are we? What good are we? This has to happen. It just has to happen. Now, how would this look? Does that mean many of the fathers who have abandoned their children, abandoned their families, going to come home and start taking care of them? Is that what that means? Or start supporting them? Or the children that was raised to hate their father? You interview some of these basketball players and football players and people like that, and they enter them and say, yeah, notice you didn't, your father wasn't there. What would you say to him now that you're LeBron James? And you know what, they never say anything positive. I keep walking. Man, that's your father. I done heard people tell me, man, if I seen my father today, man, I'd spit on him. I said, what did your father do to you, man? He left my mama. I mean, yeah, that's a one-sided story. How you know she didn't leave him? I mean, yeah, you going to spit on your father? Hey, look, and I'm not lying, y'all. Israelites said this to me. And I know a lot of people, they have a lot of hatred in their heart and a lot of grudges in their heart and a lot of anger. And now it's understandable why. So what do Elijah have to do? Soften up the hearts and give you the wisdom that you need to understand, my goodness, I know things weren't perfect in life. I'm not perfect. I'm not about to hate my father no more. That's what Elijah got to do. And then the father said, man, I didn't abandon my kids. Those are my kids. That's my flesh. That's my blood. Man, this is a wicked thing that I did. Man, you got to take care of your children. And then you're going to start hearing me and saying, look, you can't just abandon your children. I messed up. I messed up. I wish I was there for my children. Now that they've grown, they won't even talk to me. Because I messed up. That's why Yahweh said when Elijah returned, he said he's going to turn their what backs? Hearts back. It didn't say he was going to come back in the home and say, here go all the child support that I've been missing all these years, and this is all the stuff, and let me catch up with every birthday, and let me do this. No, their heart is going to turn back. And they're going to begin to realize, man, they just messed up. And it wasn't the fathers just messed up, but the children messed up too. And a lot of the children messed up because of the mamas. Now, we can understand it, but it ain't right. It's just not right to raise your children and make them hate their daddy. That is wicked. I know he did wrong, but that's your daddy. I know he ain't perfect, but that's your daddy. I know he be lying all the time, but that's your daddy. You can tell the truth without, you know. And likewise with the mother. So when they see their daddy, they can tell it that daddy, you know, I know you be lying all the time, but you my daddy, and I love you. And they be telling the truth. But it's a terrible thing. It's real terrible, and a prophet have to do it. And the only way it can be done is through the Creator's word. That's all, because Yahweh is going to humble everybody. Everybody got to be humbled. And there's some everybody think they prepared for, but they really not prepared for it. Not in the way that Yahweh has proposed to humble everybody. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
One question is, someone asked, can we give the writing credit of Psalms 110 to Benaniah, mentioned in 1 Kings, the first chapter, 36-37?
I don't know. I read 1 Kings, but I don't know. A lot of Psalms didn't have no author on there. But we do know there was 150 Psalms written, and 72 different of them was written by David. So he wrote almost 50% of them. As a matter of fact, he was just three short of writing 50% of them. And possibly we can find those 50% somewhere in the book, and they just didn't put it in Psalms. Because some Psalms, you'll see that Psalm in 1 Samuel, or you'll see that Psalm in Chronicles. So I don't know. But let me tell you what I do know. None of them was talking about Christ. That I know. And that I can prove without a shadow of a doubt. None of them. Absolutely none of them.
And the second question someone asked, will we literally see Elijah on earth?
Yes, I believe we will literally see Elijah on earth. Yahweh wouldn't have never said he's going to send Elijah the prophet. He could have just said, I'm going to send the spirit of Elijah. He could have said, I'm going to send the spirit of David. But he didn't. He said, I'm going to raise up who? David. And I'm going to send, because Elijah, he don't even have to raise up. He just send him. Look here, Elijah, when he was taken up into heaven to one of the kings, one of the wicked kings of Israel, Elijah sent him a letter, sent him a writing. Ain't that something? You just wake up one day and there's a writing on your table, and it came from heaven. Nobody put it there. No man put it there. And you just got this writing, and it came from Elijah, the prophet. And I found out, I've seen 9 different things that Elijah have already fulfilled, and there's only one thing left, the 10th, and that is bringing the hearts, turning the hearts back to the sons and the sons' hearts, or the children back to the father and the father heart back to the children. And that's real important. And it has to be done before the what? The great and dreadful and terrible day of Yah. And Yah is warning our people all the time how this is not a day that you really want to see. This is not a day that you look for. Because he said this day is going to be a day of darkness, not light. And y'all know how we scared of the dark, right? Well, if you're not, you're going to be scared of the dark. You're going to be. So, and that time is fastly approaching. That's what I see. Other people might see other different things. They can tell you what they see. But I'm just telling you what I see. I see things happen way faster, way sooner than probably most. That's why we're trying to do something about what we see. So when the scriptures say, gather yourselves together, or gather my people together, or gather my saints together, this automatically should let you know, if you have wisdom, that this does not mean don't come together. It don't mean that. It means just the opposite. I was talking about what Moray Isha and Moray Naphtali was speaking about, and they were talking about Yahweh sanctuary. What you think Yahweh called us a sanctuary for? A sanctuary is for gathering. If it's no gathering, then there's no what? Sanctuary. That's what a sanctuary is for people to gather to. Who want to just gather at your house? No, we want to gather somewhere where everybody is what? Welcome. Because you might not want some people at your house, but Yahweh don't want some people at his either. So, but no, a sanctuary is a place of gathering. That's why he says he shall be like a little small sanctuary unto thee, because he's going to begin to cause us to come together, to gather together at one time, at one place. And he's providing that, not us. He's doing that. And so when we have all these various different sanctuaries and different places and different this and different that, that's by choice. That's not Yahweh. Yahweh want his people to what? They gather together. That's what he want us to do. We, you know, doing our own thing and then justifying it. Man, I tell you, security, they eyes low, their heads down, man. Anybody can rob us, man. My goodness, can we get the mic up front? My goodness. I'm glad I'm looking at
with that said, it was.
Then he said, "I'm tripping." Then he said, "I'm tripping," and his head down. But I'm tripping. Oh, you was looking at scripture. Okay. Well, look at the dough too, please.
While we're on that subject, could you read that scripture? And secondly, there were a couple questions proposed to me over the week that I would like to share with you all.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is, if we were actually here as a punishment, and if we, our hearts are supposed to mourn and be contrite, should we actually be gathering at the sanctuary and enjoying ourselves while we're gathering? And were those sanctuaries meant to be set up in the land of our captivity, or was it in the land?
No, that's very good. All those questions are very good. And we can answer that real quick and real simple. Yes, yes, and yes. And why? Where do you think you're going to learn humility? You're not going to learn it at home. You learn that in the sanctuary. And the humility that Yahweh is looking for is not the humility that people want to offer to him. And let me just, it's two things that, go to the book of 1 Kings. I'm going to just show two things on this. 1 Kings, the fourth chapter, I think it is. Yeah, it might be 2 Kings. Let's see. Just want you to see it. The wisdom of Yah. Give me 1 second. No, it's 2 Kings. 2 Kings, the fourth chapter. First King, 2 Kings, the fourth chapter. And I want you to start reading at the 21st verse. Or start at the 19th verse so you can see what's going on.
2 Kings 4, verse 19 reads, "And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died."
He died right there on his mother's knees. It was terrible.
"And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of Elohim and shut the door upon him and went out."
And went out. And now she said it was the bed of the man of Elohim, because when the man of Elohim would travel, that's one of the places that he will stop and, you know, lay his head down. So they had a bed set aside for the man of Elohim. Where's my bed, Elder Yahya? Y'all got a bed up there? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to be there. All right. Continue reading.
"And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of Elohim and come again."
In other words, this was probably somehow, some way during the week, because she said, "Look, prepare my stuff. I'm going to run and I'm going to go get the man of Elohim." because this is what has to happen. There's times where you got to go get the man of Elohim, and this was one of those times. But watch what happens so you can understand this. Go ahead.
And he said, wherefore would thou go to him today?
Why would you go to him today? Out of old days, what's the... Go ahead.
It is neither new month.
It's neither new month.
Nor Shabbat.
It ain't the new month. It's not the Sabbath. So why are you going to him today?
And she said, it shall be well.
It shall be well, because she didn't tell her husband that the son had what? Or he wouldn't have never asked that. But if it was the Sabbath, if it was the new month, he could understand why you're going to the man of Elohim. Because that's where you're supposed to go in the new month and in the Sabbath. To the man of what? To hear Yahweh's word. Yahweh did not abolish his Shabbat just because you was in captivity. It's still the Sabbath day. And that's why the Creator said that you to keep a holy convocation in how many of your dwellings? All your dwellings. All of them. And some people want to separate these dwellings from the dwellings of the land. Well, if Yahweh wanted them to be separated, he wouldn't have never said all your dwellings. He wouldn't have never made that mistake. And Yahweh don't make mistakes. But Yahweh did separate Jerusalem from all what? All dwellings. Whether they was the land of Benjamin or whether they were Paris, he separated it from all the other dwellings on earth. Yahweh says there's only one place, one tribe, that I will put my name there. There you shall come. And he told you what you come for. But it wasn't for the Sabbath. If it was for the Sabbath, Yahweh would have said so. But he said, Sabbath, you keep that in all your dwellings. Just like when Yahweh told us we can eat flesh in how many of our dwellings? All our dwellings. What do? They eat flesh. They don't have no problem with eating flesh in all our dwellings. But when we were in the wilderness, do you know what? Before we ate flesh, you know what we had to do? Go to the door of the tabernacle before we ate any meat. We had to take that thing to the door of the tabernacle first. But he said, once you get into your own land, not to just to see if it was perfect, but that was what Yahweh required. That was, you know, we blessed our food. That's the way we did it. We took it to the door of the tabernacle so the priest can bless it. Right there before Yahweh. And he said, but once you get to your land, you can eat flesh wherever you dwell. Just pour out the what? Blood. Just pour out the blood. So now we didn't have to take it to the door of the tabernacle because the place was too far. And so our humility first is keeping the Sabbath day. Secondly, gathering together for a holy convocation on a Sabbath day. Because this is the only way we're going to learn the laws, the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, the precepts of the Most High. How else are we going to learn it? Are we going to learn it in our house and just everybody pick up the book and start teaching the kids? We'll be more confused than we are today. And we're confused today, but we'll be more confused because Yahweh didn't train every parent to teach their children. He didn't train every parent to teach their children today or in the days of old. Do you know who's supposed to teach the difference between the clean and the unclean, the holy and the unholy? The priest. The priest's supposed to teach that. And then the parents supposed to teach their children what the priest taught them. This is why the Creator said this in the book of Malachi. And then we're gonna adjourn in a minute. Yes, sir.
In 25, what we just got through reading, well, we didn't read it. It talks about the Elohim at Mount Carmel. We didn't read that.
In 25?
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to go back and read it because nobody gave me the definition of that. And we're going to go back and read
it. All right,
praise God. You've seen it again.
Seen it again.
All right, hallelujah.
Right there.
All right, all right. Watch this in the book of Malachi, the second chapter. Speaking about the priest. Starting at the fifth verse.
Malachi 2, verse 5 reads, My covenant will
start at the fourth verse.
And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith Yahweh host. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips shall keep knowledge.
The priest's lips shall keep knowledge.
And they should seek the law at his mouth.
And they should seek the law at whose mouth? For he is the what?
Messenger of Yahweh's hosts.
He is the messenger of Yahweh's hosts. This is how we're supposed to even seek the law. We don't supposed to just seek the law from anyone, anybody. It must be a messenger of Yahweh. And if the person is not willing to say they're a messenger, then what you listening to them for? And if they are willing to say they are a messenger, there you go. Yeah, prove it. Y'all can prove everything else. Prove that.
Shalom, I have two questions. Number one, I've been thinking about this off and on. What, you know, because of the point you just made about learning from Yah's teachers, from the priests, well, now we don't have any, so. From the teacher.
No, we still have priests.
But we don't know them.
Yeah, you don't. I do. Don't just speak for yourself. That's all I'm trying to say.
All right, well. Scriptures have said we didn't have any.
No, it didn't say that. It didn't say
for
that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll have to talk about that another time.
All right.
But listen, this is the question, really. With us, like, I know it says sometimes that, you know, like, that teachers that make people to err, but this is the problem that I don't see an answer for. If everyone says they say they teach the Sef Yah, right? But then we get judged if we're only supposed. I'm wondering where the accountability lies with individuals, because Yah hates an unjust balance, and if he's going to hold each individual accountable, why is an individual going to be held accountable for knowing the word and keeping the laws if they have to learn it from a teacher? And if the person says, thus saith Yah, they say that they're saying what thus saith Yah, then where is the accountability for individuals? That's one question. The other question is, if we are supposed to be a nation of kings and priests, you know, and we're supposed to teach the other nations about the Most High, where does the individual, how does this work? Is this like, and I don't want to sound, but the fastest thing I can think about is, you know, those pyramid sale things, like Amway and stuff, but it's like the one up there, and then they teach these, and then they teach these, like that. Is it supposed to be like that?
It's because when the other nations, you know, I mean, we got sent over here because we didn't do our job. You know, we didn't keep the laws and forget getting to teach anybody. We didn't even get that far. But the bottom line is, if that's what we're supposed to be, eventually a nation of you know, people that teach others about the law, where does that knowledge and ability come from? Is that going to come with a new heart? Is that going to come as part of the new covenant, new language? I'm really wondering about that because I haven't seen it in the scriptures detailed like that, but I really wonder how that all looks, especially because I'm concerned again about, you know, being able to do what each individual is required to do. Where do they get that? So those are my two questions.
Well, praise Yah. Well, as far as the other nations and other people, everything happens in this time and season. So when Yahweh's government returns, then the nations will have a place that they can come up to and learn the Creator's word. And you'll read about this just several places, but one particular place is in the book of Micah, the 4th chapter. But and you'll see it also in the book of Isaiah, the 2nd chapter. So where the other nations, but it's really all over the book, and we'll teach a lesson just on that, how the other nations and people, even before we return home. One particular scripture in the book of Zechariah or Zephaniah, it literally says that 10 nations, 10 people, shall take hold onto the skirt of a Yehudanite and say, "We are going with you, for we heard that Elohim is with you." And so they're gonna be able to see, oh, Yahweh is with these people. Elohim is with these people. And so that's what's going to happen. And now, as far as our individual accountability, is for us to be able to recognize, thus says Yah, that we have to be able to recognize that. So first is Yah saying this. And to me, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see, okay, Yahweh said this. Now, this is the part that one might, it might be a little bit complicated. For once you see thus is Yah, and you concern yourself with thus is Yah, the scriptures still teach us wisdom is the principal thing, but with all that getting, get what? Understanding. Now, how do we get it? The Creator just has order. One of his orders, he said that Yahweh will do nothing but what he first revealed unto his servants to what? And all that word prophet means is messenger. So whether it's a priest, whether it's a prophet, whether it's whoever, Yahweh will use them as messengers, or whether it is an angel, to bring about things that you and I should know. And so Yahweh has not left us destitute. He wants us to know. So there's things that Elder Yael might be wrestling with in her mind, and she might not know. But if she just follows, thus says Yah, well, thus says Yah says, on a Sabbath day, we must have a holy convocation. So let me go and hear this word. Let me go to this gathering to see if the various things in my heart and mind are going to be answered. And then you go there, and then either they are or they're not. And that's where your searching and your seeking have to continue. Because now Yahweh is holding you accountable. You done did the first step because Yahweh said it. Now you got to complete that step. And this is what you're going to learn. Everything is everything that we have physical, everything, us and everything else, There's always a spiritual component to it. And this is what you're going to see. This is what you need to know. And this is what all of us going to have. But, and I say y'all, but there are those who's not going to understand this at all. And watch what this says, and then we're going to adjourn. It's in the book of Malachi, the third chapter. Yes, Malachi, the third chapter. And this is essential right here. This is like the, this is the, really the, just getting down to the naked bone truth. And how this will be manifested is through Yahweh's spirit. In other words, just like when the spirit of Elohim came upon Joseph, Pharaoh and everybody, they was able to see this thing. They was like, my goodness, who else has the spirit of Elohim like this? When the spirit of Elohim was on Daniel, they weren't recognizing it. They said, man, who else had the spirit of Elohim like this that have wisdom and to know things that we just didn't know? And these men saying things that no man can know unless they had a spirit of what? Spirit of Elohim. And so that's what's going to happen. You looking for that spirit. So a teacher can say whatever he want to say, but you're not looking at no teacher. You looking for what? You're looking for that spirit. And you're looking for, thus saith Yah. Because don't let no magician come along. Almighty said in his word, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams come up to you and give you a sign and a wonder, and a sign and a wonder come to pass. In other words, they said, man, the cows is going to jump over the moon, and then you seen it with your own eyes. Like, man, that cow jumped over that moon. And he said, I told you I was a prophet. I told you I was a dreamer. Now come to church and serve Christ. What you going to do? The cow jumped over the moon. Yeah, whatever it wasn't thus said Yah. Malachi, the third chapter, and watch this, 16th verse.
It reads, then they that fear Yah spake often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear Yah and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith Yah of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return.
You're going to return. Return where? Unto the Most High.
And discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Elohim and him that serveth him not.
See, there's going to come a time where that's got to be manifested. And you're going to be able to do it. You're going to be able to do it. Everybody that is, that fear Yah and thought upon his name. In other words, you got a lot of people talking about Yahweh, but that don't mean they fear Yahweh. You got a lot of people carrying Yahweh's book around, but they ain't reading his book and thought about his name. Almighty says, seek ye out of the book of Yah and what? So there's a lot of things that goes into reclaiming that spirit that allow you to be able to discern. And that's what we're looking for. Let me see if he's able to discern this thing. Because if he's able to discern this thing, then I know Yahweh is going to give me the answer. Not him, but Yahweh. He's just an instrument that Yahweh will use to get the answer that I'm looking for. And I'm looking for it. But you're not the only one looking. He looking, she looking, they looking, everybody looking. So that's why, that's when you know whether they are a man of Elohim or not. Because they can answer, it don't matter where it come from. Or who say it. Bring the mic up here, please.
All Shabbat Shalom again.
Shabbat Shalom.
Just quickly on that note, what Sister Yael stated as far as a person's individual responsibility, I'm going to read two scriptures. And this is Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of Yah, and in his law does he meditate day and night. So if you're meditating day and night in the law, it's going to take you now to what it says in Psalms 19, where it says that law is going to convert your soul. So once you're doing that meditation of the law as an individual, you're going to be converted. You're going to be converted into the ways of the Almighty. And discernment is going to come a little easier, but you got to start by meditating in the law of the Most High day and night.
Hallelujah. And you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And you're going to be right there with the righteous, and all y'all going to be discerning together. See, if I teach something from the Most High, and I know it came from the Most High, and the way I know it came from the Most High is I can prove that it came from the Most High. I can show you. I don't just have to talk about it. I can show you. This is what thus says Yahweh. This is what Yahweh said. And you able to see that same thing. There is no difference between you and I. You've seen exactly what Yahweh allowed me to see. So there's no difference between you and I, other than the fact that Yahweh may have used me as the instrument to show it. But you've seen it. I seen it. And now you, I, her, and all of us, we all can do the what? We can do the law. We can do the very thing that we supposed to have been meditating in. And that's why Yahweh will show us, because that's what we've been doing. Yes, ma'am.
What is that when you made the comment about the natural reflecting the spiritual?
What is that? Repeat that one more time.
Remember when you mentioned that when you're answering my question, you said that the natural reflects the spiritual?
Yeah, I was saying, well, something it's like two. That. You have the physical,
right?
And but that whatever that physical thing is, mm-hmm. whether it's us, no matter what it is,
mm-hmm.
it has to be manifested. See, Yahweh said, "Let us make man after our image and after our what
likeness."
But then it was manifested. It became real. It became reality. That's why in the next chapter, even though a lot of people tell you this is a different type of man and this somebody else, no, it was just manifested in the second chapter of Genesis. And Yahweh breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and this man became a what?
Living soul.
A living soul. Now Yahweh is explaining mm-hmm. how this
how
thing went down.
Mm-hmm.
That's all, and that's what I was saying, that all these things have to be manifested.
Yeah.
So in the end, we're going to have to be able to discern. We just can't talk about, see, some people don't want to call people righteous,
mm-hmm.
but they don't want to call people wicked.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, you're going to have to be able to discern between the righteous and the wicked. Between him that serveth Elohim and him that serveth him not. That has to be manifested. And why? Because Yahweh, because the righteous don't want to be with the wicked. Matter of fact, the wicked can't even stand with the righteous. And so it has to be a separation. Yahweh will make that separation happen. And now some people will tell you in their arrogance, they will tell you, well, that separation is now. That's why they over there and we over here.
Mm-hmm.
But see, the thing about it is they still saying it at a time where Yahweh is telling us to do what?
Gather
ourselves together. Because
mm-hmm.
Yahweh, and the reason why is because the Almighty know. He know people don't know what they think they know. They just think they know things, but they really don't know. Because let me tell you what it takes for us to come together. It only takes one thing. And what is it called?
Humility.
Humility. And that's the very thing nobody don't want. Because, see, in other words, just to come together, we just, that all it takes is, come on, y'all, let's come together. But no, somebody got to say, well, what about the money? And now people take a step back. Well, who gonna be the head? Then you take two steps back. And then who's going to be this? And now everybody gone. And we back where we started, disunited. But how can we just come together and let Yahweh be our head? And let Yahweh be our judge? And let Yahweh be our king? And let Yahweh save us? See, we can't come together on those terms. I can't. Because I already know Yahweh is the king. So I don't have to, I'm not worried about nobody being over me, under me, or none of that. Everybody is my brothers and sisters, and I'm their brothers and sisters. So I don't have no kingdom. I don't have no congregation. I don't have no, I'm just another man. But if Yahweh used me as an instrument to tell the people, you ain't going to stop me. Because Yahweh put this in my mouth. So that's.
Thank you.
No other questions? No other comments? Just quick announcements? Yes, sir. Moray Isha.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Giving all praise to the mighty Yah by saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The scriptures say, behold, what does it say? Behold not good when seeing power to do so.
Yes.
Is that what it says? So I just wanted to praise the mighty Yah, because when I was a little younger, my wife had got sick, and I called Moray Elisha, and he came to our house real late, and he helped my wife in her ordeal of her sickness. Just like what we read in the scriptures there, he came and prayed and gave her some herbs and restored her. And that was one of the greatest acts of kindness I experienced from somebody. And I praise Yahweh that he was able to put that spirit in Moray Elisha and show him that and allow him to show that kind of kindness to myself and my family. And then, you know, I've been going through an ordeal where I hadn't had a vehicle. And then Moray Isaiah showed another great act of kindness to our family and allowed us to, you know, use his vehicle for a good long while. And to have that spirit of kindness is really special. And I praise the Most High that you would be able to be that kind and that Yahweh put that kindness in you and in you and that's with your whole family. You have a very kind family. And I praise Yahweh that your family has extended kindness to us and helped us. So hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise Yah. And of course, that's only because we are family. Because I wouldn't have did it from all these other news. Now, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Elder Yahya, I'm kidding. These elders are giving me, man. I have to tell you, I be careful. And happy birthday to, or happy belated birthday to Sister Soraya down in South Carolina. Hallelujah. She told me she was born in 1938. And the day that she was born was the day that her parents got married. That's deep. I never heard that before. Hallelujah. Happy birthday, belated birthday, Sister Etana out of England. Hallelujah. Any other birthdays I'm missing? I know some birthdays coming up. A lot of birthdays coming up. I'm not going to say them until they come. I might be saying happy birthday, and they don't even make it to their birthday. I pray they do, because most of them in my family, so I pray they make it. Any other announcements? Now, Tyler, you had an announcement, comment? All right, so he said we'll send a text in the morning for the poor. His eyes was low. He told so. He didn't want to say it over the mic, so he must have something up his sleeve, like it's canceled or something. I don't know. I'm just saying that. It just looked funny to me. But we'll see when we get the text. Yeah, no, I understand. Like, y'all got to explain, man. You didn't want to say it on the mic. Don't. No sidebars, you know. I seen that funny thing. I know my son. I see that funny little look, you know. Any other questions or comments? Yes, sir. Where everybody for the mic? My goodness, man. I tell you, our security, man. Woo! My goodness. Azariah, where you at, man?